Warwick Merry, and those that listen to the radio show, which is on every Friday at 11 a.m. on RPPFM, you would hear the dulcet tones of Warwick Merry, who does the background voices and the voiceovers for Taking Care of Business. It's a very unique Taking Care of Business today, and a very unique breakfast, Frankston Mornington Peninsula Business Breakfast. So glad you could join us today to help you take care of your business with the best in the business in Australia. We cover popular business topics today. We're covering marketing, finance, sales, technology, branding, social media, and trends in the business world. Business is going through unprecedented change at the moment, and we'll discuss many ways to take care of your business in the 21st century. So today, ask questions and get answers. You don't have to wait till the end today. You can ask a question, you can interrupt us anytime you like during the what we're here for, 1 hour. It'll fly by. What we're doing today also for the first time is that you can SMS a question. Now on the TVs around, you'll see a phone number. It is 0458 049 918. You'll see that going through scrolling on the screen. That's the number. A normal text message, that's as simple as that. So send a text message, that'll come directly to us on stage, and then we will tackle that question. So start thinking about that now. If there's something that in your business, whether you're running your own business, whether you're working for a business in your current role, a question of any element of your business, now is a really good time to ask. Well, I should also congratulate you all for being here, because by being here, you're taking care of your business. So let's meet our panellists face to face. And firstly, I'd like to introduce Toby Travenar. Toby is, this is a bit like Miss World. Toby.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Jackie.
Hello. Toby is a, he likes sunset walks along the...
I do, sunset walks.
Toby is a people and technology strategist. What does that mean, Toby?
Look, a lot of time it's about understanding how people are influenced and how technology now is playing a large part about that. I'm not a geek, but I talk with a lot of geeks and understand how to make sometimes what the technical feels like, something that we can use on a day-to-day basis. And I'm the one who's receiving the SMSs.
Yes,
one's come through already, Jackie.
He's the geek. He's the tech guy.
No, I'm not the geek, but one's come through already, and I don't know whether it's for me or for you, but it says, are you single?
No.
So, and it's true. I'll show it.
I don't believe that.
There it is. There's the first one that has actually come through.
Warwick Merry sent that.
Maybe. Find out.
Yeah.
So if any of you are sending an SMS, I'm the only one who sees it. You can send me anything and I'll be the person who asks the others, so go for it. Now the thing is though, Jackie, this is about seizing the opportunity today. That's what you do for your customers, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
And I know you're about to ask questions of everybody else, but can I ask you a couple of questions?
Yes.
What's been the one thing, and Warwick mentioned it as he did the voiceover,
mm-hmm.
You've interviewed over 600 different experts on your show.
Yep.
You see trends and you talk about trends on Sky News.
Yes.
What's one of the trends that you think is going to be affecting us, and maybe get the questions and the ideas started?
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. So over 600 experts, I'm not so clever. All I do is listen. I make sure I ask people, really good people, to come on the show. It's interesting, Toby, I do get a bit obsessed with looking for common threads. I'm talking to 600 experts from around the world, the best in their field. And if they're all saying the same thing, you've got to listen. And one of the things, the number one most common thread they all say is to focus on your strengths. Don't improve your weaknesses. There's all this, you know, your development areas. They're saying focus on your strengths, get other people to do your weaknesses. So get your A-team. I've always been a fan of experts, but now I'm a huge fan of experts. That's probably, in a nutshell,
fantastic.
What it is.
And when we've got a heap of experts.
Heaps of experts today, yeah, so a big fan of those. Okay, so our next panellist, you heard him before, Warwick Merry, the Get More guy. And Warwick is a master of sales. Now, if you go onto Wikipedia and you Google Voice of God, I'm not kidding, Warwick's name is
there. Thank
you very much. I am not, it's true.
It's true, it's true.
It's true. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
Special shout out to Monash University. Lovely to see you here. Max Coulthard, international business back in 1919. It was so everything. My success is due to you, just to let you know.
Now, Master of Sales.
Master of Sales.
So Warwick's a Master of Sales, and you're known as, besides the voice of God, the Get More Guy.
Correct.
What do you get more of?
Whatever you want. and seriously, it's whatever you want, because too many people in life don't know what they want. A lot of people I talked about in sales, but also is success. And the first step of understanding what success is knowing for yourself, what is success? Because there's a lot of people who say, oh, I want to spend more time with my family, but just keep doing a whole lot of business work, and they haven't made the choice of one or the other. And there's no right or wrong, it's choosing. For some people, success is counted in dollars. Awesome. For others, it's counted in family time. For others, it's counted in cars. For others, it's counted in number of houses they've got. Everyone's different. So it is about understanding what is it that you're really after, and then having a plan in place to go for that.
Wonderful, great to have you here. I'd like to take a seat. Our next guest, I think this will take us the whole hour if I don't hurry up, is considered the Mr. Wolf of marketing communications, Mr. Darren Woolley. If you'd like to welcome Darren to the stage. Darren is a global marketing thought leader. He is CEO of Trinity P3, which is a global agency. He's just got back from London, looking at opening an office there, Darren and I, little birdie told me.
Yes, we had a very good meeting in London, and in fact, it looks like it could be happening next year.
Fantastic. And Darren is also the chairman of the Australian Marketing Institute. So Darren is right on the pulse of what's happening in the world of marketing, not only in Australia, but also globally. So that's why he's considered a marketing thought leader. And he's always sort of in the top 10 most influential thinkers in Australia in the marketing field. So great to have you here, Darren.
And originally from Frankston. So
he is, yes. He's a Frankston, and you went to Sorrento Primary School as well, I heard.
That's right, Sorrento Primary School, Frankston High.
Frankston High, there you go. Okay, our next guest is our finance expert. We couldn't have a business show without a finance expert. And this is one of the best, Alex Jamieson. Please make him welcome. Alex is one of Australia's leading financial planners. He's also a public speaker and a journalist. And writes a lot and thinks a lot about, you live and breathe finance.
Very much so, yeah. It's something that's all boots in.
Were you always like that? Like when you were a kid, were you like reading the Fin Review?
You know,
instead of Noddy and Biggies?
At 15, most of my mates were out kicking the footy with a dad. My dad was teaching me value investing and the merits of economics, so it pretty much was instilled in very young age.
So your dad was involved in that field as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, well that's going to have a huge influence.
Yeah.
Are you still passionate about it? You don't feel like you're sort of pushed into that area from your dad, or do you feel
look,
like
it's a very exciting area? There's so much change going on, and for a small business perspective, there's huge opportunities as well. So I find it really thrilling.
Are we heading into another recession?
Look, it's business cycles happen every 7 to 10 years. That's the average sort of cycle that you see that occurs. So you would expect in the next sort of few years, it's probably likely one may turn up on the doorstep. The thing though is it always turns up when no one expects it. So if everyone's talking about it on the media, it's probably likely it won't show up.
It's interesting, you know that consumer confidence index, I hate that when they do that, you know, yeah. Consumer confidence is down or consumer confidence is up. And I get asked about that, does it affect it? And I'm saying, well, yeah, because if the media are out there saying business is bad, oh, it's doom and gloom, then you start, it sort of rubs off a bit on you. So we need to talk up, that things are positive. And if things are a bit down, it's an opportunity to go, okay, let's have a relook at my business. What can I do to improve my business? So look at it as an opportunity, not a reason to complain.
More opportunities are made for business in global financial crises or major recessions. It's a real business disruption opportunity, and we see the stronger get stronger and the weaker get weaker.
That's it, if you'd like to take a seat there. And we couldn't do a business show in this day and age in the 21st century without covering social media. And I'd like to welcome Jessica Humphreys from Social Concepts. Jessica is a social media specialist. And she does a lot of work down here on the peninsula, and she specialises in helping small business, Jessica.
Yeah, good morning, everyone.
Yeah, good morning. You also do lecturing as well.
Yeah, that's right. So I lecture in PR and social media at Federation University at the moment.
And talking to Jessica, we were talking about her business and what her challenges are. And one of your challenges is that people don't take what you do seriously.
No.
Is that true?
It is, and it's funny when I think about it. This job did not exist 10 years ago, 15 years ago. When I was at university, social media wasn't a huge part of what I studied. And I was saying to Jackie just the other day, it's funny when I meet people at networking events, they go, "Oh, wow, do you just play on Facebook all day?" And that is definitely not what we do.
Yeah, so social media can be used for business.
Yes, absolutely.
We do have some people who don't agree it can be used for business. We're going to find out if it's useful or not, or should it stay social? Because it's not called business media, let's face it.
That's correct.
It's called social media. So we're going to see if it can be used for business or not. But if
great.
You'd like
Thanks,
to
Jackie.
Take a seat. And we're going to get started now. And I thought, thinking, how do we start this? And I've gone, business trends. Business, as I said earlier, is going through unprecedented change. So I'm wanting to look at what's happening right now. What is a trend in business that's happening right now? And Darren, well, I'd like to start with you from a marketing perspective. I suppose I've reverted to my comfort zone as a marketer. What is the trend in marketing now from a business perspective? Is it still putting an ad in the local paper, or is it social media, or is it still TV? Is TV still relevant from an advertising perspective?
Well, look, absolutely, television still has a place for major advertisers as a way of getting awareness. But in fact, the game today is all technology and it's all digital driven. And in fact, the latest facts or statistics show that companies will be spending, the marketers will be spending more money on technology than the IT department. So in big organisations, the marketers are now the biggest investors in technology because the technology platform is the best way, the most efficient way of engaging with your customers.
I'd actually go so far as saying now, this is kind of my bag, that technology strategy is now driving business strategy. And I'll go so far as saying that if you're not listening to what's possible today, you may be missing out. It's very easy to get, you know, we're hearing about digital disruption in the information age. And a lot of commentators are talking about the fact that it'll have a greater impact to human life, humanity, than the Industrial Revolution did. And when we think about it now, a lot of the businesses that are now literally globally dominant weren't really in existence 5 years ago. So if you think of Uber, Airbnb, I mean, Facebook's probably 10.
But they're actually marketing solutions, not just business
Absolutely.
Solutions. And I think that's where the big shift's been, is that technology was in the past in the IT department and about operations. Now technology is about building businesses by using it to build a customer base.
I wonder if we can ask, who's a technology service provider in the room, as an example? If you're selling to the finance guy or the IT guy, it's probably the wrong person now. You need to be selling to the sales guy or the marketing guy. And I'm sure you're doing that already. But if I can create a business improvement, and if we're talking about business, it doesn't just have to be marketing, but if I can give one of my workforce, whether they're a tradesperson or a salesperson or something, access to my information in my office, access to my billing system, my ordering system, and so on, if I can make them this much more productive, and that's all it takes, you can think about the fact that if you've got guys out on the road doing service businesses, a trade services business, if I can allow you, because you've got better route optimization to get from one place to another, better job scheduling, the ability to take payment on your phone and so on, if I can squeeze in one extra job a day because I'm being more effective, what's a call-out fee now for a tradie? $100?
Yep, it's fine.
$70? Let's call it 75. No, let's call it $50 because I'm not going to be able to do the maths, all right? Where's Alex? Oh, by the way, Alex, somebody's asked, how old are you? You look so young. Right? Yeah. You're almost 40 now.
I am, yeah.
Baby face.
And incredibly wealthy as well.
But if we say we add an extra $50 a day, that's $250 a week, near enough to $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. That's a nice holiday. If I can impact your effectiveness by that much. Now, that's per person. If you've got five guys on the road, that's $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
And the cost of these things is now negligible. But in comment to what Darren was speaking about, I'm not going to come up with that idea unless I know that the technology is possible and it has actually a business impact to it. I'd be interested to know how the digital media side of things, though, and what you were saying with Darren before, is how that can actually affect how we advertise and market ourselves. Because I've been talking about productivity rather than the gaining of business.
And that's right. Technology applied to creating growth is the real big game changer. You know, the reference you made before, Airbnb, Alibaba, Uber, are all technology companies. But where the marketing comes in is that they've identified an audience and used technology to create a product that the audience wants. And that's where growth comes from. Efficiency is the path you take when you stop getting growth. Efficiency is about increasing margin out of the existing size of the business. But the big opportunity for every business in this room is to use technology for growth by actually using it to create a customer base aligned to your brand and business.
Listen, Smarter Not Harder, you're on Taking Care of Business exclusively on RPPFM. We'll be right back after this.
Darren, if I had no money, I'm a small business, a micro business, and I had no budget for marketing because I'm struggling, what advice would you give me running a business? Like, Darren, I've got no money, I've got no budget for marketing. What can I do to help promote my business with no budget?
Well, Jackie, we both know the first thing you need to do is get a strategy. And the strategy has to be based on where your business is at the moment and where you want it to be. And this is the biggest mistake people make with advertising and marketing, is they start spending money before they even have a plan on what they want to achieve. So the first thing is get a strategy, and the strategy will inform you about what you should be doing. Is it PR? Is it advertising? Is it events? Is it social media? Is it digital advertising? What is it? And that will be based around who your core customers are. The thing that's never changed about business is it's all about the customer. It's just that what we have now are tools that allow us to reach more customers more cost effectively and engage with them than ever before.
Yeah, my tip would be, from a branding perspective, is that when you meet people today, and one of the most common questions is, what do you do? It needs to be one sentence, the answer. So the success of that, whether that works or not, is if you get a follow-up question. If the person then said, oh, excuse me, I just need to go and get a coffee, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. So get that one line, one sentence, and be really clear about what you do. And I find that again on the radio show when I speak to all these different experts, and a lot of them I don't know, and I ask them, what is it you do? And 5 minutes later, they're still explaining it. And there's a fabulous quote, but I'm sure a lot of you know Albert Einstein said, if you can't explain it simply enough, you don't understand it. And I think in this age of we're being bombarded by messages, in the 70s, some research I was reading, we were exposed to about 500 messages a day. It's now up to 20,000, anywhere between 5,000 to 20,000 messages a day. Our brain hasn't evolved. So for our brain to cope, and this is, I did a few shows on social intelligence and neuroscience, fascinating. Actually, it's neuro everything. That's a new buzzword, Darren. It's probably 2014, but for me it was 2015 buzzword. Neuro everything. And so it's a coping mechanism. So what we're doing, our brains are filtering out messages. We used to read to the end of the first paragraph. Now we read the first sentence. If that doesn't capture our interest, we move on.
So Jackie, you're a branding and marketing specialist, yep, as well. How do you cut through that? How do you stand out from the tens of thousands of messages that are coming through? There's a question here that's come from the audience that says, we've been talking about marketing. Is what about sale? Good old-fashioned sales and word of mouth?
Yeah, well, that's really important, and I'll refer to the master of sales.
It's enough of that title, thank you very much. Very interesting. I'm going to talk about how do you cut through, and it's really simple. It's just doing that little bit extra. For example, let's say you're going to a networking breakfast. Let's say you're going to a networking breakfast at a race course. What's one thing that you could do to stand out? Wear a fascinator. The lovely Michelle at the back has a beautiful fascinator. There she is.
Oh, yes. I love it.
Now, straight away, I've gone, how cool. It's a fascinator. Like, it's sort of on brand for the event, and it's just a little thing that stands out. And if you think about the mass number of messages out, and if you're anything like me, I have turned all notifications off on all my technology. Because I don't need to know that someone else has just eaten a carrot or whatever else is going on. It is about, for me, taking control over what do I want? My calendar runs my day, not the demands of everybody else. But to stand out, it's just doing that little thing different. And if you consider your competition, it's easy. If you just deliver on what you promise, you're miles ahead. This is the issue with marketing that I have, is so many marketing ads are out there telling you how good they are, and then your experience doesn't match up. Think about the number of banks who are saying, we're fantastic and we deliver. And you ring up and say, can I get a loan?
Nope. So it's about being authentic.
It's about being true to yourself and your brand. So yeah, definitely authentic, but it's just, it's delivering your commitments. It really is. Good sales is just doing the basics well. Let's not get too carried away with all the special web fabulous things you can do. Just do the basics really, really well.
Do price wars work? Because you see the price wars going on.
No, but Darren has something he really needs to say.
Oh, Darren, you're busting.
It's interesting that you raise that, because I think many people make the mistake of thinking that sales, marketing and advertising are all the same thing.
Oh, I was going to ask you.
Right?
This is great.
The first thing is that everyone says sales and marketing. I have a fundamental problem with that. It's actually marketing and then sales. Because chronologically, that's the order it goes in. And the second thing is that there is only one strategy, and that is the business strategy, which feeds everything else.
Yeah, but your marketing strategy isn't successful unless I go out and actually close a deal.
But it's just purely creating the
base.
Who are
the sales guys in the audience here? Yeah, right.
And they should be aligned, except that there is a basic conflict between sales and marketing. Marketing is about creating desirability. Sales is about maximising revenue. Now, marketers will tell you that the best way of maximising margin and opportunity is by actually being exclusive. Salespeople will want more variance and lower prices or more flexible pricing. Marketers will tell you that if you want to be successful, you need to make sure your product is and service is desirable enough that people will pay a premium. There is no point being in business to buy or create something for a dollar and sell it for a dollar. That's called sales. Buying something for a dollar and selling it for $10, that's called marketing.
And it's much easier to fulfill a need than create one. So I see a lot of people, particularly those wanting to start a business, and there is a rise in entrepreneurs. There's a rise in the 55 plus, which I'm very pleased to hear, in entrepreneurs. And a lot of entrepreneurs I've come across have got a great idea, and they're creating a need. Now, it's not impossible. Let me be clear about that. It's not impossible, but it's more difficult. So if you can have a look around and you can see a gap in the market, so you've got customers asking for something that they can't get, that's filling a need. And that's much easier from a marketing perspective.
Which is where your business strategy comes in. Why are you in business in the first place?
What's
to fulfill a need that will end up making profit.
Yeah. Now, I must say, Warwick, finishing off with your comment earlier, I'm not going to let it go by. I did pick up on it, I don't know if anyone else did, about his comment about the carrot eating thing on social media. You're not a fan of social media, are you?
Nope.
Why?
It's a great way to waste your day. Because particularly like small to medium business, I don't know about you, I'm busy trying to get a sale, deliver a sale. I don't have time to sort of be going, oh, by the way, look at my lunch and I've just been to the toilet.
So
here we are.
If I search hashtag FMP Brekkie,
I only do
Darren
it on
Woolley,
show.
Now social concept, so Jessica's done it,
Jessica.
Then it goes Warwick Merry.
Okay, fantastic. So then look at my Twitter feed and look at when was the last time I put something out on Twitter before this morning. So don't get me wrong, social media to me is like fire. It's a brilliant tool, but a poor master. And there are too many people who are trying to run their business by social media because it's free. It's not free, it costs you your life. And
it's given a life. Somebody
it's given a life. Oh, you must have fun on social media, dear. But seriously, it's like, if you're not in control of your social media, it will control you. And I know so many business owners and some of my mentoring clients who have just like, oh, but I've been doing this. And like, you see their eyes hanging out because they're like, well, I'm social media, I've got a group and a page, and I just don't know what, and no, I haven't got any money.
But there is a question here, actually. A question here that says, that basically says, well, how do you manage your customers who range from Gen Y to laggard in technical capability? But I'm going to push that a little bit further to say, the generational aspects and so on. Now, I might be busy, and if you're an organisation that's more than just you, should you be having a person who's grown up on this, a Gen Y or a Gen Z now, they've hit the workforce, actually managing the social media for you as part of their job? Or are we looking at an entire market segment, because we're both old farts, are we looking at entire market segment that we're missing out on because we're not doing it, we're thinking the old style of, style away?
Jessica, are you going to defend?
I have so much to say right now.
Oh, well, come on, don't be shy, you've got to get in.
First of all, you mentioned sales and social media. Yeah. I really want to kind of point out that if you are using social media to achieve sales, you're probably doing it wrong. Social media should be a part of your sales function, but that should not be the primary goal. It's not a broadcasting tool. It's not a tool for businesses to talk at people. It's a communication tool. So if your primary objective is to use social media for sales, I would definitely advise against that. It can be part of this function. There's nearly everyone is on social media. There was just a report released this week that said 35% of over 65s in Australia now indicating that they are active on social media, which has gone up, I think, by 15% since 2010.
So even Obama.
Growing rapidly. Yeah. That's it. My nan's on Facebook all the time. I think we often think that it's young, and it's not necessarily just young people. And Toby, you were just mentioning, should we have someone young run the social media? We often see businesses putting in these 20-year-olds just out of university running their social media. There's a massive difference between using social media as a business and using it as a personal tool. And often if you're putting someone in without any experience in a business space, they're not going to do a great job effectively. So there's a huge difference between knowing how to use the technology and knowing how to achieve objectives with it for a business purpose. So I think...
Does social media, is that more important than a website?
I do not think it is. I really don't. I think Jackie and I were discussing this recently. John Loomer, who is a Facebook expert in America, he said this great quote that's always stuck in my head. It's the same one that you use in real estate. You know, don't build your house on rented land. You don't own your Facebook presence. You don't own your Twitter. You don't own your Instagram.
Or LinkedIn,
you don't own any of it. And we've just seen significantly, I'd say in the last 18 months in particular, organic reach declining rapidly on Facebook, which has been very challenging for a lot of businesses who rely heavily on a Facebook presence. So I'm really insistent that businesses have a website, because that's yours, you own that. Social media will change. It's still important. I think you should be in both spaces, but it should not replace a website.
I think the other thing too, if Google search engine is important to your business, let me go back a bit. Google owns something like 95% of search engine. 95%. So Google, without question, if searching is important to your business, then you need to understand how Google works. Now, in April this year, they changed their algorithm. And what that meant is that if you've got a website that isn't mobile enabled, now I'll break that down for you, because I could, what's mobile enabled mean? I'm trying to keep it simple. It's about looking at websites on your phone, also called mobile device, or your tablet. So when you look at a website on a PC, you're looking at a screen this big. And then when you look at your phone, it's a smaller screen. Now that website has to adjust to that screen. And that doesn't happen automatically. It only happens if it's mobile enabled. So if you've had a website for your business built, say, 4 or 5 years ago,
even three years ago,
highly likely it hasn't had that mobile enabled functionality to it. So from today, if that's the case, go back, speak to your developer, whoever did your website. Make sure it is mobile enabled if Google's search engine is important. So if people are going onto Google, putting in, looking for your business, looking for whether it's a service or a product for your business, Google will always reward websites higher than social media.
Can I just add a stat to that? Between 2013 and 14, so we're waiting for the latest research to come out, it showed the browser access to websites went down by 1% on computers. Went down by 1%, went up by 27% on phones and tablets. So the average person now is going on to their phone or their tablet to search information. And most of us will do it, won't we? We're not at our desk. We're in the restaurant researching something, or we're in the car going, where should we go? let's hop onto TripAdvisor. It's all happening on the mobile device now. And if you're not in that sort of space and you don't have some form of presence that allows people to very quickly find you via a browser on a mobile device, you're losing business. It's as simple as that. Yeah. And if your website hasn't, if you've done it on WordPress, or you've just mucked around or bought a template from kingkong.com.au or whatever, if you've paid less than $350, you're getting a $350 website that won't be optimized, that'll be a standard template to everybody else. It doesn't have to look great, it has to have good information, it has to show up on one of these.
Yeah.
And all the important information, which is coming back to what I call the human stuff, how do I ring you? Where are you located, and is there a Google Map link so that I don't have to type in your address?
Yeah.
They're the base of what we're saying. If you just get the basics right, you're ahead of the competition. And we forget about that. I know as a business, I over-engineer the bloody, you know, the word out of everything, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely over-engineered. And I was sitting down with my instructional designer last night and said, we could do this. And we said, no, you know what? Our customers want something that they can understand that's simple. You know, they don't need fully tailored to them. They need to start somewhere.
So
then we can do stuff.
Toby, this is what I was saying before, is it's important to have a strategy. You know, we could sit here as experts and say, well, sales is important, and technology and social media,
and finance.
As business people, and finance. Well, finance is important, because that is the starting, the middle, and the end. You know, the starting point is, what do I want my business to do? How am I going to measure success? Then you get the strategy on how you're going to do it. This is not a checkbox. You know, don't think that just sit there going, oh, website, I've got a website. Social media, I've got social media. Technology, I've got technology. This is not how you build businesses. You build businesses by creating customers. This is what marketing's about. Who is my customer and what do they want? I see far too many businesses take a small amount of financial resource and sprinkle it across 20 or 30 different activities and do them all badly.
Yeah.
The most successful businesses pick four or five things and they do it really well. Now, whether that's a website, that's your strategy. If it's going to be a website at the center of your business, if it's all going to be sales-led and you don't do anything else, that's your strategy, but you have to make sure that that's linked to your customer. Yeah. The customer is the person that's going to create revenue, and you have to think about your level of investment is what is that customer worth to you. You know, I see far too many marketers or businesses talk about, well, our budget is what we spent last year plus 6%, plus 7%. And I say to them, what is this marketing worth to your business as far as maintaining the business you've got and growth? And then work out the five things at the most that you're going to do with that budget. It could be social media, it could be something else. But
and
what
one of the,
it is.
One of the questions that people need to ask is, where are my customers? So if, for example, your customers are all based here on the peninsula, then having some global reach is less relevant. But the Leader newspapers, one of our table people here today, that is the newspaper that people will read. Unlike the nationals, people don't read them much anymore, but the local paper, people read that kind of stuff.
Keep going up, PPFM.
Yeah. it becomes your choice. I know a friend of mine went to an orchid place down here in the peninsula, and she knocked on the door and hung around the counter, and the guy came out 5 minutes later and said, I'm really, really sorry, our business has changed so much. And she said, what do you mean? She says, 98% of our business is now shipping orchids overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a local presence anymore. But that's a choice you make and part of the strategy.
Yeah. Yep. Jessica, when should a business advertise on Facebook? And does it work?
It does work. I guess I can't stress enough, as you were saying before, Dan, about strategy. Strategy is so important. And for some reason, even if businesses have a small amount of strategy in other areas, when it comes to social media, it's often, wow, I need to post today. And there's not much thought process that goes into that. And it's the same with advertising. They think, oh, I'm just going to boost a Facebook post. I'll chuck $10 on it. But really, what do you want to achieve out of that? And I think now, particularly if we're looking at Facebook advertising, for example, there's so many different objectives. You can advertise an event, get conversion tracking, website clicks, post reach. You can even get app installs. So there's so many different things that you've got access to. I think if you want to invest in Facebook advertising for a business, and I get this question a lot, should I do boosted posts versus paid ads? And there is a slight difference. If you want to boost a post, you're boosting content that is on your page. And that's about keeping engagement within Facebook, within that platform. And obviously, because you're keeping it within the platform, it's going to be a little bit more of a cost-effective option. If you want to send people away from Facebook to your website, for instance, then you might be looking at more traditional advertising where you're developing an ad and some copy to accompany that for website clicks. And it's going to cost a little bit more because you're taking people away from Facebook. But it's very cost
effective. Who here has done Facebook advertising? Any businesses here done any advertising on Facebook? And has it worked or not worked? I mean, do you check to see the results, and has it actually converted into sales? If it has, send us a SMS, 0458.
How many extra cars have you sold through it?
Let's be clear, Facebook is still number one.
Absolutely.
You hear all these trends, Instagram's the next big thing, and certainly growing.
Yeah.
But Facebook's like number one, like Google, isn't it? Like, it's number one by heaps and heaps and heaps.
If you ever want to see what's ranking in social media, socialmedianews.com.au is a monthly blog that releases the stats each month for free on what social media platforms are number one. Facebook has been number one for so long, it's not funny. I don't think it's going anywhere. And I think WordPress, which is a CMS website-based platform, and YouTube are the next strongest.
Is Facebook going to take over Google? Like, do you think actually Facebook's going, you know what, we're going to be a search engine now? I think there were some stats I was reading that on Facebook, people are now typing in, you know, searching for companies and items.
Facebook is what we refer to as a passport app these days.
Passport.
You often need Facebook to go and sign into anything else. You'll often say, do you want to enter your email and your password and all of this jargon to sign up, or you can just log in with your Facebook. So most people are kind of logging in with their Facebook. We do everything through Facebook, and it's YouTube's number one competitor at the moment. It's becoming a rapidly growing video platform as well.
So there's a couple of points that are coming through, and there's some really interesting ones. So the question was, Facebook advertising has been very effective for my online business. When paying for advertising, make sure it's memorable. So create a code that you can track on your website's one point. Dinosaur World in Somerville had success from Facebook advertising in such pages as Mornings Peninsula Mums and so on. Question here, and this is a comment to me, I think, is bad advice about websites. Websites can be responsibly designed even in free templates. I agree with that, absolutely. All I'm saying is make sure that whoever's doing it for you is doing it sensibly and understands. And this is the point that, I think we're in vehement agreement here. Make sure that it's not the web development process, it's understanding the market you're trying to reach and having the right content, absolutely the right content in place. Another point that's come through, though, is we're doing a lot of business to consumer. What about business to business marketing?
Yeah.
All right, what are your thoughts on that? And can we be using these sorts of media platforms to be able
and
to
do that? And that's talking about Facebook, a lot of the business to business, you wouldn't use Facebook. LinkedIn is probably a more appropriate approach.
And Twitter.
And Twitter?
Twitter is amazing. I'm loving Twitter at the moment. I change each platform, what's my favourite usually each month. And Twitter is really growing rapidly in Australia. Twitter even has a presence here now in Australia. It took them a while because Facebook's had a presence a lot longer, like a physical office.
The platform I like the most, business to business, the telephone.
Yeah.
It's a cracker because everyone else is going, let's do the free stuff because I don't actually have to call anyone because I don't want the confrontation because they might say no. But you call on the phone and you have a nice friendly conversation and have a coffee is the liquid of business.
Actually saying that, it's interesting going back to some old school techniques, but it's about trying to find that gap, what I was saying earlier. When you have a birthday now, you don't get as many cards as you used to. And when I send a birthday card now, the person whose birthday then rings me or emails me, whatever, but thanks me for it. I find that bizarre because no one does it anymore. Maybe direct mail, went out of fashion. Maybe we look at direct mail as another channel.
Talk that back to, we're coming up to Christmas time. I don't know about you, but a lot of businesses will send a Christmas card. Oh, what a fun thing this year's been. Thank you so much. And you get one and go, oh, that's lovely. I'll put it with the other 57 Christmas cards I've got. Ignore it completely. So you might choose to do something like send something on Valentine's Day. I really love you as my client. Thinking of you. How many other businesses are going to do it? Do you think it'll stand out?
There's a marketing guy called Martin Grunstein, isn't he?
Yeah.
He sends a card on the 27th of November. And he calls it Happy 27th of November Day. Two reasons. One is he stands out. Number two, he never forgets his wedding anniversary.
And I know other people who will send it out on their own birthday. It's my birthday, you get the card.
Yeah.
So it's like, look at, again, we're getting to some basics. The biggest, if you take nothing else out of today, the one sales tip I will give you, smile. Whether you're on the phone or face-to-face, smile. Yeah. I am sick of salespeople who look like they just don't care whether you live or die.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Now, sorry, go on. No, finish.
We need to talk finance.
I know, I'm getting there.
This bit's, I think, underlying everything. And I love this comment that's come through. It says, where does culture fit with strategy? It's from Jim. I've got a comment. Culture will always eat strategy for breakfast. If you have a strong underlying culture where everybody gets what you're trying to do, your message is strong and your product's strong and all of that, the other stuff will follow
through. Yeah, and culture and brand are interchangeable now. So your culture is your brand and vice versa. So if your culture and brand are not connected, then you've got a big issue. And can I also just say, I have to say this because it really annoys me. When I deal with companies and I look at their brand, I look at their brand values, and their company values are different from their brand values. And please don't have values like professional, integrity, honesty, innovation, because everyone else has those as well. So it doesn't make you different. So your culture has to be reflected in your brand and vice versa. But while I've got the stage and I'm talking before these guys jump in again, Alex, I have to ask you some finance questions. One of the biggest problems or challenges in small business is cash flow. So what are some tips of how a business can help improve their cash flow?
Like it's hearing all these guys speak, they're all going, you should be doing this, should be doing this, should be doing this. Sometimes with a business that's battling for cash flow, the first question is, that all sounds great, guys, but I've got no money. And so really, I think it's with cash flow, it's understanding where your business is. Are you struggling or are you growing so quickly that you're consuming so much cash? And so if I look at the bucket that's struggling, two things that you probably need to look at. The first one is there's a guy called Warren Buffett, one of the richest guys in the world. He's teamed up with a private equity group called 3G Capital. They went out and bought these old, sluggy businesses. And so what they did is they wanted to create cash flow. So essentially they got the balance sheet, got the profit and loss, and went through everything, every single item. Now, normally when you do that and it's your business, what you first of all say is, oh, we can't do that because. If you go through that exercise with, we can't do that because, you're wasting your time. You won't get any innovation. What you're looking at is looking at each one of those items and saying, how can we do this faster, smarter, quicker? How can we think outside the box? How can we invert the idea to look at it differently? And so by doing that, what you do is you actually find is there's probably a little bit of slack in that business. The other thing that you do is then when you look at that cash flow, what you do is you think, what are the levers that I can pull in my business to drive sales?
Now, as starting to wrap things up, we've run out of time,
calm down.
So if you've got any last-minute questions, send them through. But I happen to have here the Taking Care of Business crystal ball. Mm-hmm. And those that have ever listened to the show know I have it. I bring it into the studio and I get guests to give a prediction as to what they see. So, Alex, from a finance perspective, looking at the Taking Care of Business crystal ball, I won't pass it over because I don't want to drop it. What's your prediction of business?
So the outgoing Cisco CEO recently gave a presentation. He said in the 60s and 70s, a Fortune 500, so the biggest companies in the world, used to have a life expectancy of 67 years. Today, the life expectancy is 15. Now, that's a reason for either mergers and acquisitions or you're a dinosaur and you're not innovating. So when you think about your business as well, you need to be thinking about that 15. It's really at a point now where it's innovate or die.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And also, pearls of wisdom is something we often finish the show with. So, Jessica, I'd like to ask you, what's your pearl of wisdom you'd like to leave everyone with today?
My pearl of wisdom is going off the back of what we've discussed, is strategy. Approach your social media strategically. Know what your objectives are, where your audience is, who you're trying to target, and really put together a concrete strategy.
Yeah. Great. Darren Woolley, your pearl of wisdom?
Look, there's two things in business. One is marketing and the other is innovation. Everything else is a cost. So invest in marketing, get innovation right in your business, and just minimise the cost of the rest of it, and you'll be successful.
It's interesting, when budgets are cut, marketing's quite often the first part of the budget to be cut, isn't it?
And I include sales in marketing, because I see it as a subset of marketing.
Subset.
It probably is, Warwick. We're a subset there.
Toby, a quick pearl of wisdom?
Look, for me, it's whatever idea... I have a saying, which is a half-life of a good idea is 5 days. And for the non-techos in the room, half-life is often used as a term for radioactivity. I use it as a point of how long it takes something to become half as strong as it is today. Half-life of a good idea is 5 days. So if you've got a good idea, start working on it in a working week. Otherwise, it'll be half as strong the next week, a quarter the following week, an eighth. And after a month, it's gone. I bet you've all had good ideas, not only today, but through the history of running a business. If you act on it quickly, it doesn't mean you have to complete it. Just start on it. And you'll get the benefit. And as Warwick said before, if you do that, you're probably not ahead of 90% of your competition because they're just not doing anything. Do it rather than think about it.
Warwick, Mary, your pearl, your pearler?
My pearler. So what I would suggest to you, this is beyond just business, is have fun. The Minister of Fun once said to me, if it's not fun, don't do it. If you have to do it, make it fun. Think about, you know, the media that really, the marketing that really works, the social media that really works, it's usually it's fun. It's probably a cat video smashing a drink off a desk or something and everyone's watching it and then proudly sponsored by Telstra. You know, so have fun. Enjoy. You know, life's fatal. No one gets out alive, so have fun. Enjoy the journey.
And my pearl of wisdom is about change. As humans, I'm talking to professors, neurologists and social intelligence psychologists, change is always quite fascinating because as humans, as species, we don't embrace change easily, and some are a bit more resistant than others. But they said something to me that stuck with me about change is gain, not loss. Because why we resist change is we fear it, because we fear we're going to lose something, whether we lose some material aspects, some wealth, relationships. But actually just sort of flip the mindset around and look at it as gain. And I think that's a nice little mantra as we move forward into this 21st century, which change is happening so fast. It's the fastest change ever. And so it is challenging.
And look, there are so many questions that have actually come through that we haven't been able to answer today.
Oh, well, we'll do that.
I know all of the presenters here will be happy to stick around, so come and see us. But there's one right from the start that I've been looking for a point to get into, get it in. And I think you've summed it up. And it says, what about mental health in running a business?
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. You've got to look after yourself.
Yeah.
And as Warwick says, have a bit of fun. Have a bit of laughing. And, you know, it rubs off to your customers as well.
Yeah. If you look like you're enjoying yourself, it's amazing how it's catchy. If you go onto the RPFM website, there's a podcast on the show. I think it's called Social Intelligence. And there's also one called Consumer Neuroscience that we've done the last few months. They're both, it's free. It's on the rpfm.com.au website. Their podcast there, the ads are out, they run around 40 minutes. Really fascinating listening if you're wanting to learn a bit more about neuro side of things and also mental health. But I'd like to thank our panel today, Jessica Humphreys, Darren Woolley, Toby Travener, the very Merry, it's his real name by the way, Warwick Merry.
Thank you very much.
And our finance guru, Alex Jamieson.
And of course, Jackie Mitchell.
Jackie Mitchell!
Taking Care of Business is coming up to 100 shows, and we've got a very special show on the 18th of December. And it's a man by the name of Graham Cray. Now, what I like about business people is that he's not the Richard Branson or the Warren Buffett, but he is a boardroom heavyweight. Graham Cray very rarely does interviews. He does about 1 in 20 media interviews. He has been chairman of BlueScope Steel, chairman of National Australia Bank and logistics giant Brambles. He's been a director of media group News Corp. He worked very closely alongside Rupert Murdoch. And he sat on the Reserve Bank board, just to name a few. This man is fascinating. He's now in his early 70s. He said he's never going to retire. It was only through someone I knew, so it's not what you know, who you know, that he granted me an interview. So we've done that interview. It's a special 1.5 hour Taking Care of Business on the 18th of December. It's an exclusive, it's a rare interview, and I highly recommend, if you can remember, you'll see lots of promotion on our Facebook page, to listen to it. If you've never listened to the show before, please, I hope you can. If you can't, there's always podcasts on the website. I would like to thank Ottawa PFM particularly. They're here, Martin Ashton in sales, Deborah Maher, and of course Steve. Steve does our panel on taking care of business and also has a fabulous show called Soul to Soul. Steve, we couldn't do it without you, to have your support. If you'd like to know more about the radio station, I know they'd be very happy to have a chat with you. And we look forward to your company every Friday from 11 a.m. But in the meantime, please keep taking care of your business. Thank you.